What is happening? Welcome to another episode of The Craft. My name is Nick Pollock, and we've had the trades happen. And who else knows the backups, the guys coming in after we might actually be interested in? Who better than, I guess, teenage Eno Saris? Good to see you today.
What is happening, fellow kids?
You really do actually have that look of Steve Buscemi right now with the backwards hat. I don't think I've ever seen Eno in a backwards hat before. So if you're not watching on YouTube, you got to do it.
What happens? It's bad hair day. That's what I do.
You just got to look at me. I just let it out. Just let it go. So yeah, we have the trade deadline. We're not going to talk about like, oh, how's Gausman going to do in the Cubs? Like, it's good defense. Great. Peralta. Okay. Yeah, sure. It was Cords. But just remember also when it comes to these new pitchers, even though we did see Peralta throw 10% more changeups, at least points wise, didn't help him out. We normally don't see changes until at least the second start, because generally the first one is like, hey, let's just get you through this one. It's normally
you
not
might see a difference in everything. Pitch calling, right?
Exactly. Because you don't have the bullpen between.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. So let it go. Once I remember Savali talking about that with me, about one of his starts being like, I just had to get there. I just said like, just threw all the sinkers because like, I don't know, I had nothing else. And I did that one. That's why sometimes you'll see some weird pitch usage in that first one. So maybe we'll take a look at it next week if we see some interesting things. But as always with The Craft, our new segment that we're going to start every episode with, Eno and I are going to bring one person that we just cannot get out of our heads. So we got to talk about with the other person. And Eno, who is that person for you this week?
That person is Blade Tidwell. Yes. That I've liked for a while. And I guess the question with Tidwell has always been, you know, will he command the pitch enough? Will he command all of his pitches enough? But particularly, will he command two opposite-handed pitchers, hitters well enough? Because if you look in his minor league numbers, you know, he has, you know, a couple stuff pitches that work to opposite-handed hitters. He has a couple stuff pitches that work to same-handed hitters. He has command to same-handed guys. He does not have command to opposite-handed guys. That's what happened in the minor leagues. That's why he had 11% walk rate in the minor leagues. That is why Blade Tidwell got a 40/45 future command from Fangraphs on his command grades. And that's why he has, to date, a 94 location plus in the big leagues. But in his start that he just had against the Rangers, he showed none of those problems. He had four pitches he commanded at an above average rate to left-handers and two to right-handers. And he threw his full mix.
Yeah.
And I don't know. The only thing now that I'm worried about is that a sweeper is his best pitch.
Yeah.
And sweepers over time have been producing fewer swinging strikes. Mm-hmm. And he only has a 19% strikeout rate so far this year in the big leagues. However, that does come with 11% swing strike rate. And, you know, the back of the envelope math on swing strike rate is you get usually around twice the strikeouts of your swing strike rate. So I think he'll settle in around 22 to 23%, right around league average with the strikeout rate. If you give him a 23% strikeout rate, then you say he has below average command. That's probably like a 10% walk rate, which means he'll be right around average in K-minus BB. However, he will still pitch half his games in San Francisco. So yep, that always gives me a nudge where I'm like, you can start him in San Francisco going forward for sure. And then, you know, a game like this on the road in against the Rangers, you'd think, okay, that's a good one too. So I think he's like somewhere like a 70 to 75% game starter. Like you'd start him in, you know, at least two thirds of his games.
Yeah. A couple of questions. You said that his sweeper is his best pitch, 82 mile per hour velocity, negative 14 sweep. It's kind of has that extra lift. Sometimes we get up to, I almost say like 8 vert on it, but it averages around like a 3 or 4. And I see this slider that there was this one that is like kind of an anomaly, goes out on its island right in between the four seamer and the slider. I'm like, that's a cutter. I'm just going to push that one away. So it does mess up the, of course, the horizontal and the sweep and the drop of that. Right. So I see like an 88 mile per hour gyro that is a little extra sweep, but a little extrovert. I kind of see that as his best pitch. That was a 21% swing strike rate pitch, 71% strike, 43% CSW. He only threw it 14 times because he really did favor against right-handers. And he doesn't locate it super well. And then I also see that his four-seamer and sinker combined, get this, he threw 32 between the two of them. Imagine, actually 33. Imagine how many whiffs did he get on those 43, rather, four-seamers and sinkers combined. How many do you think?
It hasn't been terrible for the season, but I'm guessing because you're asking me in this game, he got one or two.
Yeah, I am so obvious as a landing cashew here. I'm so obvious with my trick questions. Zero. He went zero out of 43 on fastballs, which is concerning to me if you're not telling me that he has amazing command, which I don't really think he does. Right. So what I see then is like a Guardians pitcher of old. You have to have two amazing breaking balls, and then that allows you to survive without those incredible fastballs. I don't know if the sweeper and slider are enough. There is an 84 mile per hour curve in here, but I don't think it's very exceptional. There is a changeup that kind of gets involved, but it was what, 3 for 9 for strikes in this. It's not enough for me. I do love the home park, and maybe obviously like it's a debut or a season debut. I should say. Actually, isn't even that. He did appear in relief before, but we haven't seen him since April. Obviously emotion is everything like that. You can't really judge a guy fully from one of these games. As of right now, he needs to prove more to me. What out of what I just outlined, though, I'm sure that you're higher on maybe the sweeper than I am here, maybe on the fact that the four-seamer should get more whiffs than it did.
Yeah, I think, just the four-seamer as a theory, maybe I'm higher on. Because in the minors, and this is without maybe any velo bump, and this is as a starter, because his earlier major league numbers were,
right,
out of the pen. I think you're right. Four seamer in the minors, 82 stuff plus against lefties, 94 Ooh. Against righties.
Yeah. That's
it's your kind of bad fastball, but like wide mix. In the minors, he threw his changeup a lot. The model liked his changeup and liked his curve. Yeah. So my response would be, not great fastballs, but maybe good enough, and good enough to maybe access a really wide mix. Now, of course, that goes hand in hand with the command. You can't throw those pitches if you can't command them.
Right. Right. Yeah,
I'm not saying he's not without flaws. I mean,
that goes without saying. You very much addressed that. 45
future value from Fangraphs, never made a top 100 list. Like, he's a streamer in most leagues.
I see if that slider actually gets down and away to righties, right? If he just goes dancing with a disco with that and his sweeper, if you don't know that phrase, it's Tony DeScafani really popularized throwing like 45% sliders and just getting away with it. So Blade Tidwell could do that. And yeah, having two separate fastballs, there are also times that four seamer does get a lot of good two play movement. Changeup could be there. Like, it's not out of the question that we see good starts from Blade Tidwell. Hopefully also the velocity does get back up to 96, 97. And I remember with the Mets, it was better too.
Yeah. And I like him better than Carson Wisenhunt.
The
other giant, because just Carson Wisenhunt's command is worse maybe. And also Wisenhunt only has three pitches. So,
right.
Tidwell, I see a larger arsenal, the faintest possibility of better command.
Yeah. The change of the 15 for 33 whiffs at one game on Wisenhunt, and he was throwing 95, 96 in the spring, but now it's like 92, and it's just not there. I sent you on Discord right now a link to the game that I'm going to talk about, because this is, oh my gosh, I am in shock. I feel like a mattress salesman, okay? Because I want to tell you to forget everything you know about Hunter Dobbins. Just forget and look at what he did yesterday. Are you seeing what I'm seeing here? There's so much to go over with this as Cashew turns off one of my lights, but that's fine. I got to be two-faced. So we have Hunter Dobbins. Ah, thank you so much, Kevin. Sorry, it just keeps turning on my lights. Hunter Dobbins suddenly is getting 3 inches less drop on his four-seamer, but 3 inches more cut. That's a negative horizontal four-seamer now. So proper cut fastball at 94, 95. So when I see that, I think, okay, just read like a lefty to a righty. Like, you got to get that thing inside to the opposite hand batter. That's exactly what he did against lefties yesterday. And he also paired it with just amazing splitters and curveballs down and away. Like, absolute textbook command against left-handers. And then you see against right-handers, he's just throwing sliders and sweepers down and away. Like, this is everything you could ever want from Hunter Dobbins. You see this. If he could do this every single day, I would be shocked if he doesn't have a sub-4 ERA easily by the end of the year and, like, a good whip. Like, maybe it won't come with the strikeouts, but then again, if you're nailing the breaking stuff down and away, or the secondaries in full to opposite to both sides of the plate, like, you're going to get quick outs with the four-seamer inside the left-handers. You're going to get whiffs galore with the splitter, the curveball, the slider, and the sweeper in that location. I mean, he took down the Yankees for 6.1 innings of 200 runs, 7 base runners, and 4 Ks on Tuesday. I do want to say not taking down because they got the loss, but whatever. I don't know. I did not expect this. I thought of Hunter Dobbins as all right, I've got lots of pitches, but I don't really know what to do with them, and they're not really any good, and it's just kind of, let's just hope it happens inside the zone, kind of like an improved Walker Buehler type. But this is suddenly clarity to me and an approach that should work. I'm curious what you see looking at this with Hunter Dobbins.
I think you'd be surprised that his fastball rating so far, that's in the big leagues this year. So he's had other starts this year?
Yes. He's had random ones like spot starts in there. Only really one that's been impressive, and that was against the Angels on the 22nd of July.
Okay, so what I need to do is open up. His fastball stuff plus for the year is 86 against lefties and 94 against righties. But you're saying that a lot of this has happened in this last start.
He got an extra over 3 more inches of cut on his fastball. Same velocity, 94. I'm just comparing to that best one that he's had, which was at the Angels on the 22nd of July. 6 innings, 0 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. I mean, it's not even close. The command to left-handers and then also adding over 3 inches more cut to that fastball. It really feels just like something happened with Hunter Dobbins and he had a complete shift in what he's doing. I don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's going to happen again, right? Because sometimes we do see this. We see a game where a guy goes like, yeah, cool. I just had this. I did it. It was great. And then other times it's just, no, like it doesn't stick around, right?
That's so funny. The model gives him the worst stuff plus of any appearance this year in the big leagues yesterday. So not a fan. I wonder, you know, one thing that is interesting about that cut ride fastball thing is that when you see the Cubs versions and the Brewers versions, they're closer to zero. His actually has more glove side cut or whatever, right? So it's like it isn't quite that shape that the Brewers and Cubs chase.
Well, they also pair it. I mean, I'm calling this a cutter. I don't care what anyone says. This thing is a cutter. If you have negative horizontal, it's a cutter. Okay.
Right.
So then you have with the Brewers.
And it doesn't even really have the ride of the cut fastballs that the Brewers and Cubs.
Right. And not to mention, you don't really have a four seamer to pair with it. You don't really have a sinker you can see like it's 8 sinkers thrown in this game by Hunter Dobbins. So he's not really trying to do like a Ras Pack kind of thing, right? Not trying to do the four-seamer, sinker, cutter. It's really just the cutter and friends. But I'm really curious actually about the location plus that you have for this outing, because to me, this is
also
just
not good.
That's shocking to me.
Well, it's all right. It's a 99 location plus. So
that's shocking, because to me, this is just
you don't see all those wastes. He definitely threw
absolutely
waste cut four-seam, whatever that thing is.
I wonder what sometimes I tell Kyle, I'm like, Kyle, I just want the PLV location for the strikes he threw.
Yeah.
You know, just to see, like, is it like effectively wild then in that way, right?
Yeah, those wastes were probably 0-2, you know, just don't get it anywhere near the zone, you know, just try to see if you can get a whiff.
Oh, he certainly has a ton of those splitters and curveballs down. He's got
look, a bunch of those splitters hit the dirt. You know, so I mean, generally, I like these plots. I guess what you're saying is you're thinking they're, you know, it's pretty compelling. It's a wide plot because that sweeper and the splitter really extend it left to right. Mm-hmm. However, it's not a very deep plot in terms of verticality. Yes, yeah. You do have the curveball extending it down, but it's a little bit like that down, down, downer, as opposed to like, I've got something up. Like he doesn't have anything above a, what is that? A 14 IVB.
Yeah.
So you're not going to miss under the ball, you know,
unless you throw that really high fastball to Jazz Chisholm Jr. in a 1-2 count in the seventh inning.
He's locating it high in the zone. So, yeah, I mean, hey, the no model is infallible. This is definitely an interesting collection of pitches. And what you're saying is that in this particular one, he had less ride and more cut on the cutter, yes, than in any other.
Oh, game. Yeah. I mean, it's like it, you can even see it's pretty much 3 inches one way lost, 3 inches the other way gained, like a complete balancing act, right? Just going straight down the diagonal.
I really wanted to check him out. I did not get to watch this one yet. I had this one circled, had to, you know, fly to Chicago for the trade deadline TV show.
Oh, yeah. How did that go?
It was great. I mean, we talked for 3 straight hours. There was it was funny. About, you know, 2.5 hours in, I don't know if the caffeine left me or something, but there was a moment where I was like, oh, just give me a second.
We all know the wall, but it's just like, Najee, just please, just. It's like, I just think it's Ben Affleck taking a drag on the cig, right?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, man. There was a lull there. I'm past it. All right, let's go.
It was actually a really fun time with Spore. We had Samulski and Justin Mason as well come through.
It was a good deadline.
We've done it since, I think it's our 8th season doing it, since 2019.
And it was a good deadline. Lots of,
yeah,
lots
it really was.
Happened.
Just kept going. Even though there weren't like the biggest hitters moving, or it was really just Scooble who had already gone, like massive names, not necessarily, but it's just a lot of things. And that's all you really want. You just want more things, you know?
And interesting things. I mean, people with years of control left, and, you know, the Elliot Ramos deal I thought was interesting. Mm. And
it's like at Christmas, you don't want one really cool gift. You want like 20 that you're like, oh, that's cool. Way, way better. All right, so on the same topic, we were talking about Hunter Dobbins and Blade Tidwell, and both of those guys are getting those opportunities now post the deadline, because you have Dustin May moving to Milwaukee, and you have Robbie Ray moving away from San Francisco in addition to Tyler Mahle. And that is our topic today, just about who are some of these that are actually already appearing who are getting our attention. There is one that I am so curious to see where you are, because you've actually mentioned him on a previous episode. You've shown some interest. Somebody who has not gone 6 innings prior to this game, but he finally did. We're going to talk about who that is and more after this break. So, you know, we finally saw it. The Nationals, they got rid of Foster Griffin. So they had to give an opportunity to somebody. And that somebody was Andrew Alvarez returning from the minors after 1 week. And it was 6.1 innings, but I kind of cheated a little bit, Eno, because he didn't have a higher pitch count than the other games. He was still around 82, which is the range that we've seen for Andrew Alvarez, where he's gone those 4.1, 4.2 innings, sometimes, if we're lucky, over 5. And I know that you've been in before because, yes, he does have a higher strikeout rate. He's kind of like Tidwell in that sense of 2 good breaking balls that do get strikeouts for him, while the fastballs are really the question. I'm curious if you are more interested in Andrew Alvarez now after that game, or do you feel that the Nationals are going to actually give him a proper runway and let him go 90 pitches and be able to survive through at least 5 moving forward?
Well, you know, we tend to think first when a pitcher is, you know, extending themselves and they're moving from the bullpen to the rotation, or they're a young pitcher that's going 3 innings and 4 innings and 5 innings. I think the thing that we think of first is that their stuff is going to drop,
right?
You know, because their fastball velocity is going to drop because they won't be able to maintain that velocity through longer innings and for more batters. But, you know, there was a piece of research that Pitching Bot did before he was hired by the Guardians that showed that if you look over the course of a game, that command drops off before stuff. And that's over the course of one game. So that's pretty, you know, relevant to a guy who's, you know, trying to push how deep he's going to the game. And I think that is something that we have seen with Alvarez, is that earlier on his location numbers were better. And the deeper that he goes into games, the worse his location plus numbers get. And lo and behold, on the 3rd of August, when he went, you say, deeper into the game than ever, in terms of pitches, you're right. It was just 80 pitches. He's gone to 90 before. But I think maybe in terms of ups, downs, it's got to be one of the longest in terms of like how deep
it is. The longest he's had all year. Just the second time that he's gone at least five innings. It was a 5.2 and everything else was underneath it.
Second worst location plus of the season, 80 and 80 location plus. And you can see, like, literally when he was doing 50, 60, 70, pitch outings, he had like hundreds and 101s. And of course, there can always be an injury underlying or some other aspect to this that I'm missing. Could be a pitch mix thing. Maybe as he goes deeper into games, he has to throw pitches he doesn't command as well because he has to throw other pitches. But no matter what it is, you can see that as he stretched himself out, he's had less command. And he's borderline stuff-wise, I think, you know, given, you know, just either his stuff numbers or just something as simple as the radar gun. I mean, he's 91, 92, basically, you know, with the fastball. And so if he's borderline stuff-wise and the command is dropping as he goes deeper into games, I like him a little bit less with every additional batter he sees.
Yeah. I'm not so impressed with the curveball and slider that I'm like, yeah, let's go and do this. I mean, trust me, I understand. I get, you know, I see that he has over 20% swing strike rates on both of those, but the fastballs to me are just not it. And he's going to have to throw a ton of those. I mean, even this one, it was a 50% strike rate on the slider. So he had to throw 23 four seamers, 15 sinkers, and made it for about 45% fastballs. And I'm happy he survived, but it doesn't, I don't know. I see the 23% K rate. I'm like, that's cool. He also hasn't done it over long outing, right? It's a strike at an inning, but if you're going 4 to 5 innings, it's like, that's not much.
I'm looking at this pitch plot, and I've, you know, I'm not saying I've watched every Andrew Alvarez start. I mean, it's impossible.
Well, of course, yeah, no way.
But I've watched like two or three, and the thing that I remember, breaking balls in the dirt.
Oh yeah,
and like this over and over again.
And I'm just like, that way. Oh my god!
I'm like, is this a plan? Is breaking balls in the dirt a plan? And then I look at this pitch plot from the last game. Thanks to your tool. A bunch of breaking balls in the dirt. I mean, it's almost like the lowest thing I was worrying about with Dobbins, but it's actually his plan. His plan is, even his high fastballs are like belt high. Now maybe so many breaking balls in the dirt just changes people's eye levels, and they're just like, they're almost start looking in the dirt. But I don't have that much confidence that it's going to continue in any great way. Do they Are any of their, I guess it's some point we could maybe hope that some of the returning injury guys in the national system may get a shot this year. I don't know if they would make it all the way to the big leagues, but they had Sakura. Yeah,
and Luis Perales. That's all I'm hoping for.
Luis Perales has the best stuff plus of any starter in AAA.
So then why are you not saying it before? How is that not like?
Because he also has like a 84 location plus.
In I don't AAA. Care. I want to put out a gift, but oh my god, what a fastball.
Well, let's give him a shot then. I mean, are we like, I think Andrew Alvarez, maybe they're saying, ooh, could he be our five next year? You know, we need to audition him and we need to know if he's gonna be our five next year. But why don't you audition Luis Perales, because he could be your two next year?
So you want to know something really fun? You know, I have my amazing pitcher dashboard that you've been using.
Yeah.
That is, by the way, going to be available for everybody with PL Pro very soon. We already have it in there, and I'm just giving some last bits of feedback in changing of it a little bit to make it a little bit smoother UI-wise. So you guys are about to get my dashboard inside the Pro Dashboard. So go get Peel Pro now. It's 15% off if you use promo code dashboard with Peel Pro yearly. But I actually, on my own, built my own version of that same dashboard for minor leaguers. So I have it for AAA and everything now. And I'm looking at this for Luis Perales. He actually not really earned too many whiffs, but of course it was shorter starts. They're finally pushing him now to over 70 pitches. And, or I said rather over 80. They were limiting him really around 75 for ages. But the last four have been 86, 79, 95, and 95 pitches.
There you go.
And he probably is coming up. But it won't be until, what is it, like August 17th when he would be eligible for Rookie of the Year next year? Because I know that with Cade Anderson, it's around then. So,
well, I mean, it's actually, there is a day number and then there's also an innings number. So either way, you won't get more than, I think, 40 innings from him.
Well, right.
Because at 50, you lose your I mean, yes,
let's just say he's going to go five innings, which he hasn't really eclipsed. He did it twice this year, Luis Perales. So that's 10 starts of five innings.
Which they're not going to get.
They're not going to get that. So it's not a chance he's going to hit the 50 because it's just too
I would say it's just someone to circle and be recognized when he's up. And I don't even know if I'm throwing him in the first time up because.
We have a rule called the pilot rule.
Yeah. You know?
Prospect's initial line, often terrible.
Yeah. And like. You know, it's one of those things where, like, if you have the ability to, it's great to, like, put them on your roster and have them there, but on your bench so that you can, you know, not absorb this.
Everybody's probably wondering.
I mean, he's never really put up a single-digit walk rate for an extended period of time in the minor leagues.
Yeah, and you're talking about percentage, of course, because we're not talking about 10 walks a game. If you're wondering, like, hey, what does he do? Think to yourself, Logan Henderson's pitch movement plot, and it's kind of like that. It's a little different of sliders being more present than the cutter at the moment, but it's kind of similar where it's four-seamer changeup, maybe Bubba Chandler. I remember you talking about him as a change of focus guy. Same kind of deal, but Perales throws 98, and he has that cutter at 92, 93, the changeup at 87, 88. That is his number one pitch. It's kind of like a better Wilbert Urania almost, if he finds out that he can throw strikes with the four-seamer and not be afraid with that. Hopefully the cutter can turn into the strike stabilizing pitch. But he does keep the changeup down. I mean, he really did in his last game against the Syracuse Mets, at least Perales. I would absolutely be circling him as someone who does get that chance. And it should be fun.
This is a flyby and it's less fun, but it's related to Perales. You mentioned Urania. That team is probably, it hasn't announced it yet, but probably going to have to go to a rookie pitcher. Maybe it's just Brett Carey.
I mean, it could be him, but I think it should be Brett Clausen again.
George Clausen, yeah.
Oh, so yeah.
I think
George Clausen, right, of course.
I think it'll be George Clausen. The reason I don't think it's super happy fun is that I have his location numbers for the minors. He does not have a location plus over 90 now on any pitch. And 90, just to give you context, like if you had 90 location plus overall, you would be a reliever. There are no starting pitchers that have a 90 location plus, you know, year in and year out. Like there's reliever level command. And I honestly, I just think that's what it is. I think the shape on his pitches aren't, the shape on his fastballs aren't even that great. And he's already at 97. And he's not, you know, striking a ton of people out at 97 with not great shapes and bad command. So I think you got to push him to the pen and try to get 98, 99 and out, you know, out velo that shape. I have a friend who says shape is velo.
Ooh, shape is velo. What's it like time and space? You know, it's
exactly.
That's really what it is, actually. Space and time.
But, you know, I don't have much hope for him. I don't know much about Carey. Do you have something on Carey?
Now, hold on a second. Carey. So yeah. I got to say, I cannot believe I didn't make this minor league dashboard before because it's so easy for me to quickly just see game logs and see if there's any progression or anything interesting. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you something about George Clausen really quickly. In his AAA time this year, from April 19th all the way through June 13th, I see two games that he eclipsed a 60% overall strike rate. It was 61 and 63. Okay. Since June 13th, every single start has been at least a 60% strike rate. And in his last three in particular, 64, 69, and 65.
Yeah. And hey, Location Plus agrees with you. Last three starts, 99, 104, 104.
This is what I'm getting at, you know. So the last three, it was a 24 whiff game, 12 and 16. Zero walks in his last two. The only two games with zero walks, save for his very first one on March 29th in Vegas.
Yeah, and other than a 62 Location Plus clunker on July 12th, you're talking about six straight starts here with average locations are better.
So something is interesting here to me.
I think he's changed his mix. Is that in your dashboard?
Yeah, it absolutely is in here. Yeah. And I will send that your way so that you can have fun too, you know? And yes, I will talk to my developer to get the minor league version of this in as soon as we can. I'm seeing against right-handers, same. I mean, there are some more changeups lately, but he did do that earlier on. Against lefties, same, I guess, a little bit more of the change of focus, but not really seeing a mix difference. Now, on individual pitches themselves, on his four-seamer overall, a massive boost in strikes on his four-seamer. Unbelievable. 70%, 76, 70 in his last four when he never hit 70 beforehand. Lots of 60% earlier on in the season. I think that's good news, man. You can just say that's a huge, huge deal. For Claussen, also the sliders become a stabilizing pitch, 70%, 78%, 71% last three games. There's something going on with him. And I would at least be interested as a spec ad if he were to come up, George Claussen. Because remember, he throws 96. He's got a 90 mile per hour slider. That's a gyro. That's really cool. Don't get too hyped by the 85 curve, because that's kind of like the 84, 85 Kumar Rocker slider almost.
So he doesn't throw it very often.
Yeah, and it's like a -5, -4. Like, that doesn't add up to me.
It's weird.
Changeup, though.
It's a small mix, though. It's 7, 86, three pitches.
It is very tight. Now, is it in the PCL? Because if it is, that would then affect movement, right? Mm. It would essentially, when I think of thin air guys, I just think of a denser plot. It just takes everything and condenses. Oh, yeah.
Look at his game log. Albuquerque, Sacramento, Las Vegas. They all have altitude.
There you go.
El Paso
is someone you should definitely be paying attention to. In my view, I think he possibly has turned a corner here. And
from the pitch plots on your tool, I would just say I don't think it's possible for somebody like, you know, three games ago to have just found command, especially without a pitch mix change. Yeah. What I see is it looks like he's just aiming for the center of the zone now.
Mm.
Like there's not like good, like, oh, he's top rail and he's bottom rail.
Yeah.
No, it's a pretty scatter shot, but it's like, and so he's going to throw some 97 middles. That's what he did in his last start, you know? And right. I think at some point, it's an interesting thing to say to discuss with your pitcher is like, hey, like, it's not work. Like, it's not improving, but you do sit 97. So why don't we just zero in? Let's give you one target. Let's go middle on everything. Let the movement take it away from there.
And right.
See if that's going to work for you.
Now he did pitch, I believe, in Texas for a game. That's what SUG is, right? Sugarland, I believe.
That's the latest one.
And that's on the 31st, though, of July. I just sent it to you so you can take a look at it, because to me is more, okay, that's what his vert is and everything, his movement plot. And that is 15 to 16 verts at 12 horizontal. So I like that.
But he has a higher arm angle. So it's
right, 43. I did also add arm angle.
Not a great fastball shape. It's not actually a great fastball shape. It's just great velo.
I finally added arm angle per game in the main one. I got to add it to the minor league one too. Yes, finally. But yeah, so something to take note there. It's a really good call of him aiming down the middle now. And yeah, I am curious if that is. I mean, yeah, I'm even seeing the previous ones. He's trying to go down and away with the four seamers, trying to go over here and over there. And it's like, nah, man, I'm just center glove. Give me that center. Yeah. And sometimes that's all you need to be actually serviceable. There is an interesting situation, I think, in a team nearby Los Angeles, and that would be the Arizona Diamondbacks. We are seeing some of those guys. And to be honest with you, you said the scattershot. All I could think of is Mitch Brett, because that's what he says when he pitches in my head. It just looked like it's a paint everywhere. And that's, I'm not really into him. Cole Drake is also there. There is potential for him as a swatch over time. I don't quite have any intrigue in those Arizona guys. I don't really have anyone circled that could appear and take a good rotation spot in Soar. I could be missing someone. Do you see anyone there with the Diamondbacks?
I do not. Cole Drake doesn't have great stuff, and he pairs it with bad command.
Well, that's fun. There you go. now, speaking of painting, we have Andrew Painter returning, because for some reason, unless you want to say Caleb Killian, which is kind of a funny joke, that the Phillies did not add anyone to the rotation. Mm-hmm. I truly don't understand that one.
Is Gage Wood the real reason?
It could be. It could also, I don't know if you caught it, but last week, Andrew Painter, he had a good game. July 31st at Baltimore, Andrew Painter went 6 innings, 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks.
It did exactly what I told him to do. I didn't tell him to do this.
But personally. But you did. When we say things, people listen,
I said to pitch backwards.
Yes!
And it was
he did more than that. He did more.
Well, he turfed an entire pitch. It looks like he got rid of the splitter. He really reduced the sinker, but he pitched backwards so far at 54% slider. That's kind of pushing it for
sweeper and slider. Sweeper and slider.
Yeah, 54% breaking balls, right?
Yeah. But even more interesting to me than that is that you say he turfed the splitter, but he turned it into a proper changeup at 91 that had a 70% strike rate, 23% swing strike rate. He nailed it down and away to lefties.
And it has better theoretical movement than a splitter.
Yeah, the splitter was more vert and inside. Like, it was just worse on both ends.
And not even as hard. Yeah.
It's just
more good movement and is harder. I mean, that's a better changeup.
Yep.
And I think basically what you're doing, if you're Andrew Painter, is the gyro slider is your fastball.
Yep.
Your sweeper, you play off of that as it goes further than it. I mean, your gyro slider does have a little bit of cut, which I think that's okay for trying to get lefties out, right? And so you kind of treat that as like your cutter, and then you treat the sweeper as your slider, and you treat the four seam as an action pitch that you throw every once in a while to surprise them and to keep them from, leaning over and trying to catch those things on the outside corner. So
now, one element that I really wish he changes is he did nail it, but his intent was the four seamer backdoor, because it is a cut fastball a little bit. It is like a 2 horizontal or so. Mm-hmm. And I wish that he would go inside with it, because everything is away, and then all of a sudden you throw 96, 97. It's not like he's throwing 92, like he still throws hard. It's just 6.4 feet of extension. It's been hit for whatever reason. And you can absolutely get guys who are looking for that backdoor sweeper or changeup, and then sneak one in inside. If you do it away, they still will be able to poke it out quick enough, because you are giving them more time away, right? Than you are inside. That is one little change. But the one thing about Andrew Painter I've heard over the years is that he has good command. He has above average command.
So I would like to see some top rail four seamers. Like, he didn't really do that. And I get it, because I think he was trying to hide some of his lower stuff, like his breaking ball stuff. So he's trying to you throw a four seamer when they expect a breaking ball and maybe get a call strike, that sort of deal. Yeah. I see what he's doing there, but the problem is he's going to run into eventually guys who are good low ball hitters.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I want him to be able to, I see him throwing a few high sweepers. That's interesting. So some high sweepers with that four seam on the top rail. just to be able to get through, you know, the guys. I mean, literally anybody with a high tilt, like a Kurtz, Otani, you know, Judge, those kind of swings, I feel like they look at this pitch plot and be like, okay, I got this guy.
Would you say that Alonso has one of those too, Pete Alonso?
Oh, I don't know. Why?
Well, I'm going to tell you that he did throw a high four seamer at a 1-2 count, no outs in the first, the man at first. And what did Pete Alonso do? He took it for a ride. Those are the two runs he allowed, was that two run shot off of a up and away four seamer.
No, see, Alonso has actually a slightly flatter swing than those guys. I mean, those guys, you know, think of Riley Green, like those guys. So Pete Alonso this year has a 34 tilt. And Riley Green has a 44. Mm-hmm. So it's a 10 degree difference. And like Kurtz and Judge and them, they're like 39, 40. So yeah. Alonso, because think about Alonso, like what's the like famous Alonso homer is always like that screamer to the opposite field, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that is true.
That's a flat bat path guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. I mean, Andrew Painter is someone I am curious about. He's going to get the Nationals on actually today. And then he's going to go into St. Louis on Monday. It's interesting. PLB projections don't like that one because the Cardinals offense is still rated pretty highly, even though it is in Busch Stadium. So take that either way.
Yeah. Burleson said, I hate this effing place.
Oh, yeah. I know. I remember that one. Yeah. But it is something at least to monitor, because I think for so many right now in the season, you either have the other sport going on that everyone's starting to focus on, which is stupid, and you're going to have a lot of managers who aren't going to keep up. They're going to have already their impressions of a ton of players, and you're going to have guys like Painter, theoretically, who are going to be different and are not going to be treated any different. So this might be one of those guys where we've seen a change and we can actually take advantage of that. Now, staying on the East Coast, there was a guy yesterday from the Orioles who appeared after a long hiatus, which is Cade Povich. And Cade Povich is someone who, to me, was interesting. Always wanted him to be that swatch type, but really kind of a discount Max Fried almost. But then he turfed the cutter. It was a lot of like fastballs and curveballs and some sinkers, not too many changeups, some sliders to lefties. But what we got yesterday was totally different, you know? We got high four seamers and changeups to right-handers. And then we got sinkers to lefties and sliders to lefties. And that was kind of it. I mean, you did get 20% curveballs to both sides of the plate a bit, mixing around, having some effective strikeouts.
A smaller arsenal.
But it's 6 innings, 0 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 Ks against the Angels. I don't think that I'm super enthused, because I still question if the four-seamer changeup is good enough to be that kind of swatch lefty, right? But it is different, and I would imagine Baltimore would want to give him the reps for the next 2 months so that he's ready to be in that rotation next season. Do you think that Cade Povich is worth your time in 15 teamers and maybe even 12s?
Yeah, look at that changeup. It's interesting. He threw 18 of them. That's way more than usual. You can see some in the zone, some around the zone, a few maybe yanked ones, like 3 or 4 that are a little bit too high than you'd want. But generally, you know, interesting locations for the changeup. However, an 11% swing strike rate, a 17% CSW on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's a great pitch. You know, I don't
see. Didn't locate it down enough either. I mean, it was something that was kind of.
There's some that, like I said, that are too high, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, so I'm also trying to look at, you know, his stuff on the pitch, you know, per game and stuff. I don't really see it. Like, it doesn't look like a necessarily different pitch. Stuff has said it's about an average pitch, though. So maybe it's just saying, hey, it's not an amazing pitch, but it's average, you know, and that's what I'm
maybe
going
that's
with.
Good enough. You know, sometimes we do see that from lefties being able to get away with that. Chris Bassett will return at some point, and it's possible that Povich is the one out again. I would think they would do that to him. I don't know. I feel as if they have to keep him up and pitching regularly at some point. And Chris Bassett, I don't think, is worthwhile to really push him out personally. Maybe it's a six-man or something like that. We'll see.
It's only on a 1-year deal, so.
Yeah. There's Brandon Young, Shane Baz, Bradish, and Rogers are the other four. Maybe somebody else cracks there.
Yeah, I'd rather just put him into some sort of piggyback situation with Young and Povich in there. And just those are the guys with
Bassett. You know, yeah, with those guys. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just
so we have more. We have so many. There's so many interesting ones. This is one where, I mean, he's returning back from the IL. He did it about a month ago. And it's kind of hilarious to me. He went up in Baltimore and had arguably his best game of the year. And that is Grayson Rodriguez. You know,
I was wondering if he fit our criteria. Easy.
More opportunities. It's really just one of those things of like, all right, like Jose Soriano's gone and Grayson's going to be there now forever. So Grayson Rodriguez, 7 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk and 6 strikeouts. But more interestingly, his secondaries all got whiffs. 22% on the changeup, 11% on the slider and 25 on the curveball, all above a 60%. Actually, above a 65% strike rate. That's a huge deal for Grayson Rodriguez. Are you interested in Grayson now? I mean, he really went Blake Snell blueprint, 4 seamers up to lefties, changeups down, sliders for a ton of strikes against right-handers. Maybe it was just a revenge game. You gave me up for Taylor Ward?
Yeah, no, I actually put him in the lineup just because it was a revenge game. I used him in a couple places.
Get out of here.
I really did. His arm angle has been going up recently, and that's given him more depth on his breaking balls. He's weird because his best secondary is his changeup. And when he was coming up and he was like a flame throwing minor leaguer, all the stuff models loved him because they gave him good marks for that changeup, and they also gave him great marks for really hard breaking balls. But in the meantime, he's kind of lost some of the velo on those breaking balls. The slider is 84. Yeah. And the curve is 80. But, you know, over the course of this year, those breaking balls are inching back up and the velocity, the vertical drop is getting a little bit better recently. So the breaking balls have gotten a little better. But listen, he's lost ride on the four seam. He's lost velo on the secondaries. I think that the ceiling that we dreamed for him is gone. I am a little surprised because, you know, a couple starts ago, I said, you know, in that Giants start, he's facing the Giants. He should, for every reason, all his pitches should have the best movement they should have. You know, it should have been a good game. And that game, I said, I'm out. And of course,
except for a revenge game. Of course.
Well, yeah, I did. Yeah. Well, you know, some of these leagues, you can't drop guys.
I understand. You know,
I'm stuck with him, but like 12, you know, since that day, he's had 12 innings pitched and 2 starts with 12 strikeouts and 3 walks and 4 earned runs. So like, he's been pretty good in the last starts, 1 against Houston, 1 against Baltimore. It's not terrible offenses. I don't know. I feel like the ceiling is gone though, because the four seam isn't what it used to be. The breaking balls aren't what they used to be. And so he increasingly becomes somebody who's going to lose strikeouts because he doesn't have the breaking balls, right? And he's going to be someone who maybe settles in with a 20% strikeout rate. And,
yeah,
you know, that just removes all kinds of ceiling from him.
No, absolutely. I mean, with Grayson, it's just not enough. You know, he needs to really, really excel with the secondaries consistently, because the four-seamer is just not an overwhelming pitch. And without that, even
used to be
well against lefties, it's just not anymore. 7 feet of extension at 97, you would think it would, but what is it? 2 whiffs, 3 whiffs on 49 thrown yesterday. And that's with good locations too. It does mean, okay, maybe it's like the Jeremy Hellickson situation where he had a really good changeup, got whiffs, but that's because everyone wanted to hit the fastball so badly. Right. Yeah. And it might be like that with Grayson, where they're just like, I don't care. I'm just going to sell out as a lefty for this. I mean, he did bounce a lot of changeups to left-handers as well. There is someone else I do want to talk about who's actually going right now. And this is a guy that in the past, I remember this was like 2024, you and I were like, oh yeah, it's Cody Bradford. He was a swatch before there were swatches. He's throwing 90 miles per hour or so is what we saw in the last rehab game. I didn't expect him to go very long today because he only got stretched out to about 53 pitches or so in his last rehab game. We also we're seeing that 7 feet of extension, 89.7 in the previous one. But today, what are we getting? Well, he's thrown 70 pitches thus far, and he's still he just got relieved in the fifth inning. So he finishes the day with an 89 mile per hour four seamer, 7 feet of extension, 17 vert, and it's a 21% swing strike rate on this four seamer, which is incredible for like 89 miles per hour, but 8% on the changeup. So 2/26 on that changeup is not exactly what you wanted. Are you going to be looking at Cody Bradford at the Angels next time out? I mean, this is one of those cases like, all right, the Rangers are going to lean into Bradford over, say, Jordan Montgomery or probably Cal Quantrill in the future.
I just think, you know, you're asking so much of him, of that stuff. You know, he has to be so efficient to get through five innings and get you that win. I'd be actually more interested if they put an opener in front of him. Because what I found is that these guys kind of have an easier time getting the win, which in fantasy is super important.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Seymour got more wins when he had an opener than when he pitches for himself. And so I don't think they've done a lot of openers there. And they also don't really have a great enough bullpen where they can be like, oh, yeah, we have an extra reliever that we can just go out there. So that's a no for me, dog.
Oh, man. But Cody Bradford has performed effectively in the past. 4.1 innings, 0 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks here. I mean, yes, the Giants. But we have seen him in the past be productive. And I would also mention, yes, he's at 70 pitches now, but it will be 80 and then 90. Like, they will push him. They don't really care about the whole Tommy John thing, I'm sure. They're just like, whatever, Cody Bradford, it's fine. So I'm not totally saying no. I would say matchup dependent. Like, going into Los Angeles against the Angels, maybe not, because he doesn't have that pitch count yet. But he will then go to Sacra Verde in Sacramento. Fine, push that away. August 22nd, he's then going to host the Angels in Arlington. I'm down for that one for Cody Bradford, as long as we're seeing kind of the same thing, right? The four-seamer staying up, the changeup's generally staying down. That's fine with me. He can easily go six innings in that game, I would think.
He did have Bradford did have pretty good on the field results in the minors and during his rehab stint. I mean, we're talking about, you know, he struck out 33% of the batters he saw and walked four. Like,
yeah. What's funny is you do see in the minors, this is like just a note for everyone, that four seamer changeup guys overachieve in the minor leagues. It's just every single guy there's like, I need to hit every fastball I can. So it's just,
I've got a name for you.
Oh, you got a name?
And actually, it's actually a team situation, because they got roasted for not doing enough at the deadline. They did get Tyler Mahle, but
they should.
they should also get roasted
Brewers, because the Brewers actually May's good enough, and that's fine. Yeah, the Atlanta absolutely needed. Yeah,
and they should get roasted for getting Tyler Mahle, but
that fits perfectly with Atlanta.
No, they needed a guy, and he's a guy. Yeah. But it's what it ends up being right now is it's Chris Sale and a bunch of guys, and you know, sorting through that, you know, I can be dismissive and we can say they should have done more, but sorting through those will be, you know, especially lucrative for fantasy owners, because that is a good bullpen. It is a good offense. They're going to give them wins. It's a little bit tough though, because Atlanta is still a launching pad. It is still the second highest altitude of any big league park until Vegas opens up. So there's still the chance of homers. It still can move your pitches around a little bit. But, you know, at least with the version of AJ Smith-Shawver that has the split finger, in the past we've seen pretty good fastball, pretty good split finger. I don't know about the breaking balls. Of course, he goes into this game, last week, and he throws a pretty good fastball, 97 miles an hour, a 85 mile an hour split that generally went down. There were about four or five of them that didn't go down, but
generally
looks like a pretty good pitch. And then a combined seven breaking balls that, you know, the slider didn't get a single strike.
It looks it's a cutter now. 90, 90, 91 as opposed to like the 87 of old with like 7 inches of vert on it. And
so the new plan is like a righty wall drip. I mean, wall drip is a righty. So the new plan is like a higher velo wall drip, or who's another cutter four seam splitter
wall
guy?
Wall drip though was like, wall drip was one of the densest pitch plots I've ever seen. Like the smallest circle of like 6 pitches.
At least the switch jobber has that big curveball that he can throw every once in a while.
And he does get good separation between the four seamer and the splitter. There is just one stat that I just can't get over, you know? He threw 40 of those four seamers at 97, and he got one whiff.
Yeah.
And it's like, it wasn't as if he threw them terribly, too. I mean, he got lots of strikes, 65% strikes. And when you have a splitter, like, you think, okay, one of these two. Like either the four seamer, the split, fine. If the four seamer isn't, it's like Gausman. Then he doesn't get as many on the four seamer. Then the split gets all of them. That went 1 for 19 whiffs. And I'm just, if that isn't working, then that means we were going to rely on the curveball, the sinker, the slider to get it done.
And he doesn't have great natural command.
It doesn't add up to me. As much as I want it to, and I can absolutely believe there'll be a game where he has the perfect command of that splitter down, and that's just eating some guys up. Absolutely. But it is not a deceptive four-seamer.
When you look at his arm angle, he's a 40-degree arm angle, and the league average is 37. So he has a slightly above average arm angle. And then you look at the movement profile 16, on the four-seamer. 16 IVB is literally a half inch above average. Now, what would you maybe expect as a batter when you see an arm angle that's slightly above average? You'd expect slightly above average, right? Like, I think that this is a dead zone fastball. It is 97 though, but I think, going forward, maybe that new cutter sinker thing, if he really starts to throw that and he throws that with confidence, then you can play the two fastballs off each other in the zone.
Absolutely.
Right. So I still think anybody who throws 97 has some upside in this game. Like, he still has upside. Yeah. That splitter is pretty good. So we're talking a little bit about, can he realize that upside quickly? Can he just like come out next game and throw 10 slider cutter thingies? And if he does that, do we change our appraisal of him that quickly?
Yeah. No.
No, it's still a dead zone fastball.
I don't know. I mean, I want to see the impact of it. Right. Yeah. I mean, went 0-for-2 throwing for a strike in this one first and foremost. So okay, there was 10 of them, but then half of them fall for a strike and they're just taken or whatever it is, fine. Does it affect how the four seamer is hit or attacked, right? If I don't see that, then I'm like, I don't.
And the backdrop of all of this is 93 location plus for his career in the big leagues and a 40/50 future command from Fangraphs and the prospect, and double digit walk rates in the big leagues and double digit walk rates in the minor leagues. So, yeah, like to be like, oh, this new pitch, if he showed real good touch and feel with it, would be great. Set against the fact that he hasn't really shown good touch and feel in any of his pitches. It is like, I think it's the kind of thing that will make us look dumb, because the next time he goes out, he could throw just a masterpiece. But when you think about this type of pitcher on a game to game basis, they're going to be pretty wild,
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of funny of like the Blue Jays, they go and acquire Jose Soriano. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, all right, you have Dylan Cease already and you get Jose Soriano. Just like, now you need to get Todd Bradley. It's like, really, oh, get all of them. And I forgot about Trey Savage already there too.
It's like, all stuff over command, dude.
So then Jameson Tyone goes, and I'm like, hey, Tyone, all right, like, way to even it out, just like all strikes all the time.
I did have a larger question, which is, since we're talking about the Braves and we're talking about, Chris Sale and some guys, are there any guys that sort of, rise out of the rest for you?
Or for Atlanta.
Yeah, so I'm talking about J.R. Richie, Owen Murphy,
I don't,
you know, Ronaldo Lopez, if he's
Lopez in the last game, he had lower velocity at 92 as opposed to like the 94, 95. Then he went,
and then
the
he was hurt.
Martin Perez has been shocking. He just had a brilliant game, and I don't expect that to happen again. We just saw the real estate broker, that is Grant Holmes, have one of his best games of the year, where he actually didn't throw as many sliders as he normally does. I mean, Grant Holmes is someone that is pretty much just, you know, like
bread and butter. The bread and butter coming up in the minors was the curve.
Right. And then you never learned one in Oakland. I remember you telling me that. And I was like, that's insane. And that was your reaction,
Scott
too.
Emerson,
but no, yesterday
got
was
very
actually
mad about that, by the way.
Getting more into it. Yeah. And then
Scott Emerson was very mad.
Oh, my God. So maybe there's some
Murphy.
But Owen Murphy. No, I didn't love Owen Murphy.
No.
I just wasn't.
It's funny. I'm looking at his pitch plot and I'm like, he has the pitches. I mean, he has a four seamer with the above average ride and it's 93.6. So it's a little bit slightly below average velocity. But some starts, you can see he's out there throwing as hard as he can every time.
Did you just say the words 93.6 was below average velocity? I know. I know it's true. I just didn't see that.
Yeah.
That's like the threshold for me of like, cool, now you have above average. You're like, you're below average. I'm like, ah.
Yeah. He has a 88 mile an hour gyro that looks fine. He has a 80 mile an hour curve. Like, he has representative pitches. I'm afraid that it's like he has just a collection of average pitches and he has average-ish command and he has, you know, yes, his extension is below average, but other things are above. Like, I feel like this all adds up to like average. Like, he's a 4 or 5 at best.
Did you say 96.3?
93.6.
Oh, 93.6.
Yeah.
See, I heard 96.3, and I'm like, you say average?
93.6 is below average velocity.
Oh, 93, yeah. Well, that's right. Exactly. Okay. Because when you said 96.3, I was like, really? Oh, Murphy? It is, 18 to 19 verts, 42-degree arm angle. So maybe there is something with that. But, right, as you mentioned, it's not quite enough for me. And also, I wasn't really too impressed with his command of everything. It was fine.
I think he's throwing us, like, my read when watching him was that he's just throwing as hard as he can because he wants to be in the big leagues, and he doesn't really have great natural velo, so he's just like, he's throwing as hard as he can, and that's taking his velo, his command down. I mean, it is 106 location plus. The prospect support said 45 present, 60 future command.
I mean, he has 75 to 80% strike rates on his four seamer and changeup across like 100 between the two. Right, he's throwing 160 pitches
in the big leagues or minor leagues.
Yeah, in the big leagues thus far, but I mean, that's, you're just filling up the zone. Doesn't necessarily mean that's helpful, right? When it's when he's throwing 6.2 innings with a 7% walk rate thus far in 3 games.
I like him a little better than
than others. Absolutely,
I like him better than J.R. Richie. I think that fastball is interesting. You know. I could see him like being like, I got a kick change. And you're like, oh, now it's pretty cool.
Well, if Owen Murphy, like, this is a perfect scenario where we hear it all the time of like, who is the next X, Y, and Z, right? It's just, there are like 8 different factors that turn someone into the next blank. And it's like, how do they get better, right, than what they are now? And Owen Murphy is a classic case of like, okay, you have enough here. It's really just like 2 more ticks of velocity. And then we're talking.
Yeah, actually, yeah. Just velo would be good. I mean, if the changeup was like if any of the single pitches was like took a real leap forward. But the problem is, this gyro slider is, you just need velo. Like, you're not gonna change movement.
87.5. It's not even gyro though. I would say it's worse than gyro. It's like it's up in arm side away from, sorry, up in glove side away from that. So like, it has a little bit extra sweep at -4, and then it's 6 vert though. On all the pitches,
I mean, he could add a sweeper to this. Maybe, I don't know. There's just like it's like a boring palette of like a makeup pitcher. It's like, he's okay. Here's this okay guy, and you know, I just don't want to shut the door. I don't want to.
Oh,
say,
no, absolutely. I mean, you should like, never really like, any prospects should always be like, all right, like Hunter Dobbins. There you go. Forget everything.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'd be very intrigued if Owen Murphy was like, it's a splitter now, or it's a kick change now, or the curve is a sweeper now, or something. You know, like that. There, the one little tweak could make a difference for him.
Well, I've got one more for you. You know, One more. And we're going out of this one. I don't think anyone left. I guess Braxton Garrett left. But Ryan Gusto has been getting some runway with the Marlins thus far. And I've been saying, all right, he has interesting stuff. He's got a wide mix.
Got a lot of pitches, man. They make a little bar for it. So it's, like, it's a lot of pitches there.
But I always get interested when guys are doing randomly new things dramatically, right? Like all of a sudden, Framber Valdez throwing 10 four-seamers to right-handers. I'm sorry, what did you do? You just did that? Okay, fine. No. Ryan Gusto showed up last night against Atlanta, of all teams. 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks with 11 whiffs. Like, well, hold on a second. He has only had one game above 10 whiffs. And yes, he hasn't gotten long, he hasn't thrown a ton of pitches, but that's kind of shocking to see. And his four-seamer is up. It's full tick. So now it's at 95. But he clearly did something here because everything is lower. Like, everything dropped in movement. So negative 3 vert on the four-seamer, while extra inch of drop on the changeup, 2 on the cutter, 2 on the slider, 1.5 on the sinker, 1.5 on the sweeper, 1 on the curveball. And then also the four-seamer is getting more cut. So 1.5 more cut now. And I'm not saying necessarily this is great. It might literally be that Atlanta trained in the traject and it's like, this wasn't that. And they're like, well, okay, he's different. That's why we didn't do as well. But when I see someone just massively different movement on everything, I perk up a little bit. I just get a little like, okay, here's a moment that we need to now follow with Ryan Gusto throwing harder as well. And that was a 41% usage, Ryan Gusto four-seamer, 76% strikes. We also saw the cutter and the curveball both go above 75% strikes, each with whiffs on them over 30% of the time. It's different. And 90 mile per hour cutter now, lots of lift, but in 90 mile per hour cutter, that interesting more cut fastball, 95, very similar now, might be kind of getting close to a Raspec situation. I am very curious what you see with Ryan Gusto and if it's anything that we should tune into if he does this again.
Yeah, let me see this here.
He's muttering to himself, everybody. He's like, oh, this is what you want a scientist to do. Whenever you see scientists muttering quietly, you should. Interesting.
So the last 4 games in the major leagues, 108 stuff plus, 100 stuff plus, 96, 93. Like those aren't amazing games. Those aren't amazing numbers, but they're better than usual. Like, I mean, he's had other games this year where he's in the low 90s. So stuff is up. You know, in terms of like movement profiles, I would have said some of the stuff is bad. Like, you know, he had the worst ride on his fastball this year.
Well, right. He cut it. He reduced it, but then reduced on everything.
Yeah.
You know, I normally don't get it. Guys, don't get me wrong. I want more vert on four seamers. At the same time, it's kind of like Dobbins in the way of lower vert, but more cut.
Yeah.
Like it's trying to embrace that a little bit more. And for guys who don't get those whiffs, it's like, well, then fine. And then I'll go the other way, you know?
Yeah. I do find him interesting generally, though, because it's a little bit like the Murphy thing where it's like, well, you know, it's an okay fastball and you have a lot of other pitchers. And at some point, one of these pitches has got to, you know, to pop, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think he's a streamer at best.
Well, let's see if he does this again. Let's say it's just like more of this new approach.
Yeah.
I'm at least a little curious. That's all.
Agreed.
It's not easy to have that kind of game against Atlanta. Right? And again, literally could just be the trajectory, not expecting this at all. But
yeah. Well, I mean, then it's like, well, if that is the case, then, well, he has 5 pitches. Could he just go into every game and be like, today's the curveball game?
I mean, honestly, yes. Yeah. It's kind of like what the Volley used to do.
Yeah.
Here's cutters and curveballs. Here's some fastballs and sinkers. Here's whatever, you know.
It's working.
Could be that. Hopefully they're not using the iPad anymore to tell them what to throw. I remember actually years ago, Lance McCullers told me and Alex Fast that like we were like, okay, how do you choose between these two, slider and your which was really a sweeper, and his curveball. And he goes, oh, yeah, I just throw them both in the first, and then the iPad tells me which one's better. I was like, what?
Well, they could still be doing that because he could just be looking at the metrics.
Right. No, you absolutely could do that. Not
with the stuff that came out of my AI, that'd be so funny. Like, hey, Siri, which one of my banging balls is better today?
Oh, gosh. There's something about that that just does not sit right with me. I'm all for zero tech whatsoever. I think that all video review should be within, just like it is it should be challenging.
It's kind of funny that we look at the manager and we're just like staring at this guy.
Yeah.
And he's going,
and then the guy's on the phone looking upstairs, like, stop.
Hand out.
It should never be like that. You know, back in the day, it was called turning the umpire so that the manager, while arguing with the umpire, could look and see at the guy saying, do it or not, you know?
Yeah.
That to me never made sense. Like, you have to do literally the call is made, and then it needs to be within like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You got to say, like, yes, I'm challenging that one. And that should be part of the pitch calling challenges. Make it 3 or 4 total, and that's it. That's how I see it.
Even if you separate it, do it like that. Like, yeah. You know, you got 2.
And I think if you combine, it's kind of fun. It like really adds more flavor to it. But that's, yeah, just separate them. It's fine.
You'd have some team that was like, we only do pitch challenges.
The reason I hate this, the reason that like I want this is because there's another rule I have of sliding to a base where there's like a half a second where the cleat
Stop.
Everyone
doing
hates
that
this.
One.
It's so against the rule. They go on the phone and like, I think that happened for like half a second. I'm like, yes, we got to challenge it. And that would remove that. Otherwise, I would say if there's no intent for them to go past the base, like advance the base, just treat it like first. The second they touch it, like, and they're not, like, it's theirs. If they're over the bag, as long as they touch it and they stay over the bag, it's there, you know? I cannot express how many stupid moments there have been. I always
refer to it. It is a silly moment in baseball. We're all staring at the manager with his hand out, looking back.
It's so dumb. But what's so dumb is I gotta leave you now. We gotta go. Thank you all so much for supporting this podcast, guys. Make sure you leave a rating or review. You stuck around to the end. Of course you did. But Ina, what are you working on right now?
I'm going to take a rest for a second.
No.
I did put up something very similar to what we just did, but with hitters and relievers in it.
Oh, nice.
Where I looked at players that will get a chance now. People like Abimelech Ortiz, the first baseman for the Nationals, but also Yovani Cruz. You should check him out. He has nasty, nasty stuff. Unfortunately, he's just a reliever. I don't know if you ever look at those.
Failed starters.
It's not relief pitcher list. You know,
Rick Graham does so much work, and he's hired him full time. Okay, so thank you for doing that, Rick. But that's an awesome article. Go check that out with Eno. For me, guys, I'm working hard as I can at this pro dashboard and just making all these kinds of improvements for you guys. Cannot express enough how fun it's been for me. And we have so much stuff that we're building. It's in alpha right now. You get PL Pro yearly. You pay the same price and you get more and more and more and more as we just release more stuff. So go get it now. 15% off promo code dashboard. That is it for today. So on behalf of Eno Saris, my wonderful guest, my name is Zach Pollock. We're doing jazz hands today. I'll look up with me again next week. Let me get out of this. Cut it, Josh.